Welcome to the Pope St. John the 23rd Vocation Podcast with Monsignor William Fay. Here at Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary, we realize it's never too late to respond to God's call. If you're a man 30 or older, discerning a possible call to the priesthood, or someone who supports these later vocations, this is the podcast for you.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to our great podcast here at Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary. We call it very simply, Never Too Late. And we do that because it is never too late to discover and respond to a vocation that God gives us. And the men here we have are from 30 to 60 and even a tad bit older, who recognize later in life that God had always intended for them to find their way into the priesthood. And they're here to spend 4, sometimes 5 years in terms of preparation before they're ordained for their own dioceses. So I'm happy to welcome today Deacon Steve Mullaney from Worcester, as I mentioned to you, the nice diocese of Worcester. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Monsignor.
I want to chat with you today about your vocation. We can begin there and talk to me a little bit about your vocation, where you think it came from, and what your journey has been a bit.
My vocation was planted by my grandfather, my mother's father, when I was about 5 years old. He had a brother who was a bishop in Italy. My grandfather was an immigrant. He was intent that one of his grandsons would become a priest. I was the youngest of his grandsons. And so he started working on me then. But as I grew older, of course, I had interests in other things. I wanted to be a meteorologist when I was in junior high school. And around that same time, a religious sister in the parochial school where I was attending handed out prayer cards one day to every child in the class, a different card to each one of us. The card she gave me said, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." She was trying to send me a signal. And then in high school, as I was a senior in high school, it was a Catholic high school, and the priest who was our class advisor pulled me aside one day and asked me, "Have you ever thought about becoming a priest?" And I just said that I was really interested in becoming a civil engineer at that point. And he said to me, "Well, you could be both." Of course, now years later, I realized that is absolutely possible.
So you did that. You did some important work in civil engineering. Tell us a little bit exactly what that kind of work involved for you.
I was involved with site development and design. It was basically land entitlement. I would acquire permits for construction on vacant pieces of property or redevelopment of property and perform all of the site engineering associated with that in terms of designing roads, the infrastructure, all of the piping that goes below the roads that handles the storm drainage and the water lines and other utility lines. I would deal quite a bit with the public. I would go before permitting authorities at the local, state, and federal level before public hearings, receiving a lot of input from elected officials and from the public. And that really honed my speaking skills during that period of time and my ability to think on my feet.
Good for you. So you went into that work. How many years did you do that?
More than 30.
No kidding, huh?
The first 14 years after I got out of college, I worked for a private company in Ayr. And then in 2004, I opened my own business.
Good for you.
And hired engineers to work with me. And ran that business for 16 years until I entered seminary.
Good for you. Now, when you came to the seminary, did you close down the business or did you sell it? What happened?
I transferred the ownership to a friend of mine, and this is a very interesting story. The day that I received notification from the seminary that I had been accepted, I called one of my friends who had worked with me at the company in Ayr many years prior. He had no idea I had applied to seminary, and he and I had collaborated occasionally over the years. And I said to him what I had done, and I had been accepted at seminary. And then I said to him, "I know you may want to say no to this, and I would understand, but I'd like you to take over my business, keep my staff, and maintain my clients." He immediately said yes.
No kidding. Isn't that great?
Providential.
We talked, you know, last month we had the chance to be with Deacon Luis, and he said exactly the same thing. Life for him was just a matter of God's providence all along the way. So what brought you back? We talked about the fact that you had this sense as a young kid that your family, your grandfather, thought you should do this. You kind of pushed everybody away, went off, were very successful at what you did, and even was able to hand off a business to somebody else, hopefully is still as successful. And what brought you back to the issue of priesthood?
In my 30s, at my home parish, there was a retired priest who would come and celebrate Mass occasionally, and he brought up the idea of priesthood to me again. And that was around the time that I was thinking about starting my own business. And so once again, I cast it aside. But then, actually a few years after I opened my business, my mother became very ill. She had been ill on and off for about 15 years, and I was a palliative caregiver to her while running my business. And after she passed, and I was caregiver to my father for the next 10 years while running my business, I really began to see that while being successful in business is good and giving back to the community and the parish is good, I didn't feel that I was fulfilled. I felt that God was calling me to something more. So I began discerning that and speaking with a parish priest around 2015. And we discerned at the time that perhaps the permanent diaconate was the place for me. So I applied and I entered the program for the Diocese of Worcester and was in that program for more than a year when I had to step aside because I was juggling too much trying to do that. My father's health was declining as well as running my business. And then after my father passed in 2018, I was going to go back to that formation. And some people, including the associate pastor at my parish, said to me, "You're wasting your time." I said, "What do you mean I'm wasting my time?" He said, "You belong in the priesthood." I began discerning very much in depth at that time, and I had the benefit of coming here very soon thereafter to a First Friday Holy Hour and open house, and then a couple of months later came to a weekend discernment retreat here. That sealed the deal for me.
Yeah, yeah. We just finished a retreat weekend here at the seminary, and there were 10 men here, and a number of them said to me, "You know, I know from this experience that this is what I'm supposed to do." I should mention to our listeners too, especially those of you who might be contemplating a vocation to the priesthood, that we have on First Fridays in the evening at 5 o'clock, we have a holy hour during which time we pray evening prayer, have time for personal recollection and spiritual reading and adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. And then afterwards, we have a Zoom call that people from a distance can Zoom in on, and people who are in the neighborhood who want to travel and come and maybe spend an overnight with us are welcome to do that too. There's nothing like being with men who are in the seminary that really helps you to understand what goes on here and the important kind of things that happen while you're here. You should have done most of your discerning before you come, but you come here obviously to confirm the discernment that you've made. But for older men, it oftentimes, like Deacon Steve, involves putting something aside, letting go of something, and you want to make sure that you're making the right decision. But you come here to see what goes on here, and it really opens your eyes to what the Lord might be asking of you. So that's really, really good. Steve, you mentioned to me that not only would you be helpful as that you were doing help in your parish, you mentioned that you were doing some community service too. Talk a little bit about that and what that brought to your own life experience.
A few years after I opened my business, I was invited by the Regional Chamber of Commerce to join the Board of Directors. And it's the North Central Massachusetts Chamber of Commerce covers an area of 25 cities and towns, and there are 800 member businesses. I was on the board for 9 years. In the later years, I was an officer working my way up the chairs, ultimately as chairman of the board. That gave me an opportunity in the community at large to see the types of assistance that nonprofit organizations were giving. Yes, this was a business-oriented organization, but it also did community service work. Mm-hmm. And I could see that there is a real need for that work, and there's a real interest among people to provide that work. But what was missing in this arena was the component of Christ, which is why doing our service work through the church makes all the difference.
No, that's great. And please thank God, you know, that he planted the vocation within you and that you had the eyes to see that kind of thing. That we, obviously the men here at the seminary, everybody has a pastoral assignment from really the day that they arrive here. It used to be that we'd only begin that in second year, but we've learned through good prudence that it's helpful for men even in the first year. In fact, men sometimes feel that there's a vacuum in their first year if they don't get a hands-on experience of what it means to bring the gospel out to others. So that's such an important thing. I was thinking too, as you were speaking, you might, if you remember back to the time that we did Catholic social doctrine together, it was Benedict XVI who said very clearly that when nonprofits and prophets mix together and see what each other is doing, you have a much richer and much healthier society. And that's exactly the kind of thing that you were seeing in the work that you did at the
Absolutely.
Chamber of Commerce, which was really, really a great thing. When you look at the parochial assignments that you've had, you know, or the different pastoral assignments here, was there one along the way that became special for you in terms of it was really a beautiful growing experience?
Yes, I can cite two summer assignments I had at the same parish at St. Gabriel the Archangel Parish in Upton. The pastor there invited me in July of 2022 to begin participating in a healing ministry that he had been conducting there monthly for many years. It had been suspended during COVID and he was just reviving it. And he invited me to join him in hands-on praying over individuals at these healing masses. Mm-hmm. So he would have confessions before Mass, then we would have Mass, then he would offer confessions afterwards as other ministers were praying with people. He would also offer the anointing of the sick for people who needed those that kind of a sacrament. We used the sacramental oil of the St. Raphael Holy Healing Ministry, which is based in Grafton, Massachusetts. That experience has been ongoing. I return monthly to their healing mass. In fact, I was there just this past Thursday. And during those experiences, some people will feel a sensation of heat going through their body when they're being prayed over. Mm-hmm. It's been reported back to me that some people have experienced healings after I've prayed over them. Mm. I'm simply an instrument, as are the other ministers. Mm-hmm. We're instruments of Christ. It's miraculous when Christ heals people in that way. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Miracles happen every day at the altar through the hands of the priest in the
exactly.
consecration.
Exactly.
It's very humbling to do it, but it's also a very gratifying experience in that people have so many problems, physical, emotional, spiritual. They have their own, their family, and their friends. And when they come to a healing mass and then want to be prayed over, they are so open with discussing what their problems are. And to have that kind of sharing with somebody and to be able to join them in prayer to God for their healing is just beyond words to describe.
Good for you. And it's a beautiful ministry. I remember there was a priest years ago here, when I was a very young priest back in the 1970s, there was a priest who was very involved in that kind of work. And I don't remember where exactly, whether he was in the Archdiocese of Boston or one of the neighboring dioceses like Worcester, but his name was Father McNamara, and he had a very, very profound and positive effect on people in just the way that you were speaking about. So thanks for mentioning that. As you look over your time here, Deacon Steve, if you were to identify one or two blessings that stand out for you about your arriving here at Pope St. John as a place for your priestly formation, what would those be?
The people, the faculty, the staff, and the brother seminarians. It's a family here, and it was a family that I really needed when I arrived here. Mm. I had had some circumstances in my life within the previous year that one of my fellow parishioners in my home parish described to me as the circumstances of Job. I had had, after my father's passing, my sister and I were sued by our brothers over our parents' estate.
Oh my.
And so we became estranged from our siblings and from their children. And then not long after that, one of my clients filed a frivolous claim against my engineering license. And so I had to defend that, defending two suits at the same time. And my sister relocated from Massachusetts to Virginia. She and her husband wanted to be closer to where their adult children lived. So I was feeling very abandoned at that point in time. Mm. And selling my business at the same time, an awful lot of life changes all at once. But coming here, it was such a welcoming atmosphere. Yes, I was mourning the loss of family through either death or distance or detachment, but I was also welcoming the love of 55 new brothers.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a special place, and we've said that in many of the times that we've been on the air. It's just such a wonderful place. There's a single goal here, and that is to get each of you to priesthood. And the way in which we cooperate with that, I think, is absolutely stunning. It is really, really good. Well, Deacon Steve, I want to thank you very much for giving some time to me this afternoon and sharing your story, as intimate as you did. I know it's going to be of a wonderful help to men out there who are thinking about whether or not they should take a step towards a local priest and say, this has been on my mind, I'd like to talk about it and see whether there's something genuine here of a vocation to the priesthood. So thank you for that sharing. I'm very grateful. I'm also grateful for our recorder and editor, Jerris Aziz, who's with us today, and thank him for his good work in putting these podcasts together. And to all of you who are listening, thank you so much for your attention, for your wanting to get to know this beautiful institution, Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary, more. We cater to men who are between 30 and 60 and some older who are looking at a call to the priesthood. Your prayers, your support, materially, financially, is just so welcome to us, and we're so grateful for it. We look forward to seeing you again at our next podcast. They'll always be released on the 23rd of the month in honor of Pope St. John the 23rd. So we look forward to seeing you at that next gathering. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to check out our website at www.psjs.edu. Remember, the first step to answering God's call is making the call. 781-899-5500.